What's up, After Buzzers? Whoa, what an episode of the Mayans, huh? Sacrificial sons, a brawl to end all brawls. What else? We got some barbecue of some people, huh? And Coco's little sister doing porn. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That's a good.
Yeah,
good fight
song. That's fight music. Yeah. That's definitely going on my workout playlist.
Yeah,
I'll tell
sure,
you that
right?
much.
Like pumps you up.
Yeah, pumps you up and getting ready to go. That is Uncontrollable Urge by Devo.
It's a perfect song.
Yeah, Mayan's music is good music. Mm-hmm. They got a great Spotify list. If you guys aren't listening to it, find
get
it.
Get on it.
Get on it. Wow, but what a show. So we got some special stuff going on for you guys today. We got a new segment. We got some news. We're going to talk a lot about the massive amount of story that was put in our laps this evening. I'm Jorge Payo, and to my left...
Hi, guys. Linda Antwee.
All right. Linda.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, just joining this panel
joining
and all about
panel.
It. Love Sons of Anarchy, and I'm loving this new show, Mayans. I'm loving it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Bikers, why not?
I mean, come on. I think I was a biker in a previous life.
Probably. So what was overall thoughts on the show?
I thought it was jam-packed. What I do love that Kurt does is he lays that storyline, the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I really felt like I had to pay a lot of attention this second episode because there were so many underlying storylines that... Mm. We can see that he's putting that foundation down.
Yeah, he's creating a universe. This is the Sutterverse, is what it seems like,
it
right?
It sure is.
And it's peppered in by little dabs of Sons of Anarchy every now and again, too, which
and
is nice,
that.
Too. Yeah, so it's a total universe that we're getting involved in here. And the storylines, everybody's going through some sort of crisis, huh? Starting with that Galindo family. How about that?
That family, I don't know.
Oh, man. Do they have some history? Yeah.
They have a lot of history. Wow. A lot of history. And I think that with this episode at least, I think that they're showing that there's no scruples. It's like, just dive in and kill those people.
Yeah, they sort of rule with an iron fist. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fear is their greatest weapon. I mean, that's what Tony Plana's character tells. What is he? The consigliere of the of the Galindo family, right? So, oh God, what a heart wrenching story.
The brother story.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we can get into that, but it all starts. I mean, right off the top, first scene. What do we see? We see a scorpion. And, crawling over a gun.
Yeah.
Em is pleading there in the dark. The baby, and it's the big old baby napping.
Yeah.
And that eerie little girl in the mouse mask.
Yeah. I was like, that kid is like from The Shining or something. It was crazy.
Right. Yeah, I expected her to come by in like a little big wheel or something.
Something.
Be like, hey, you want to play?
Something. And it was interesting how calm that situation was. Like, they knew exactly. They were in control of that situation, for sure.
Yeah.
The resistance.
And Em said it, too. The kid didn't even flinch when they shot her guard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Point blank. But I thought she had a really strong scene, actually, herself, pleading for her kid, begging no, no, no. And then she was like, F you.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. I thought she was going to be killed in that scene.
So did I.
I'm surprised I'm not surprised because now we saw the little bit of the backstory, but in that moment, I thought for sure she was going to be killed.
Yeah, there was a moment, but then I realized that perhaps they were leaving her alive for leverage still in a way by keeping her around, because if they take the baby and they kill her, then he's going to come after them right away.
Right, but there's also the history with taking the baby from before, so we don't know if this is just history repeating itself.
Ah.
Right? Or if there's more to it. So we'll see.
Well, it seems to be a pattern with the family. They sacrifice their sons so that they can continue the business.
Right. It's a power move.
Yeah. What a reveal by the Galindo mother there, you know, La Jefa, I guess. And how could you?
Are we going to talk about that right now?
We'll come to that.
I have a lot of thoughts on that
too. But yeah, I just. What about the relationship between Em and Miguel from the top? right? When in that beautiful house and that beautiful view. I'm sorry. Yeah. Couldn't get over that.
It was a beautiful house. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I feel like that relationship is not 100% genuine. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like there's love there, but there's not like the love that you see Emily has for Easy.
No, that's a different kind of love. That's a first love.
Yeah, but this love seems, I don't know, their interaction so far for me seems a little bit forced. Like he's placating her, like, oh, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, but it's, not really. It's very Godfather-esque in the don't ask about my business kind of thing, right?
Right.
And she even played up to that in that scene between the two of them. She said, I know I'm not supposed to ask about the business, but I want to know. She's in a very subservient position.
Right, which, you know, in crime families, the wife normally is. You see that a lot. I just think that perhaps in this day and age, you would think that she would just know more and she chose the life, so just be in the life.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Or perhaps she chose the life and just thought that she was going to get the perks of the life without any of the backlash.
Yeah, that's kind of naive though, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would think so, but that seems like the world that she was living in because this is a whole big surprise to her, you know?
And again, we don't know enough, but if she dated Easy, and Easy, you know, we know his backstory, but for right now, he's a Mayan, then you know the life.
Right.
Right? You know that it's not like you're, oh, I don't want to be in this life. You know the life. You've been in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she must have known about what. I'm interested in just knowing how Miguel and M got together in the first place.
Right.
You know?
I'm sure we'll find out.
I'm hoping we get some more of that backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And how about Easy actually, what about the reveal that Easy asked about Emily when he brought the bikers over to ask for their, when he brought the Mayans over to ask for their help?
Mm-hmm.
That was
a big reveal.
That was a big reveal. He's like, what about Emily? Keep your mouth shut.
Right. But he didn't care. He was not keeping his mouth shut.
No.
He said, what do you say to Galeano when they were torturing that family?
Oh, I love that.
He said something like, basically, like, if you didn't treat them like crap.
If you didn't treat them like greasy peasants.
Peasants.
If you didn't treat them like greasy peasants.
You'd still have your son.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that the brothers got in front of him right there, too.
Yeah.
They blocked him off. That's brotherhood.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, what the that's very similar to the Sons of Anarchy kind of family thing.
Yeah,
huh?
For sure. They're brothers, for sure. Yeah.
Even as a prospect.
Yeah. Because I think they were thinking it, too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they were thinking a little bit, too. He probably shouldn't have said anything, but still.
Well, because that's the way that the cartel, that's the way that he's treating the Mayans. He's treating them as just, like, foot soldiers. Right.
Hired
now.
Out.
Yeah, and that was stated previously in the pilot episode when El Padrino was talking about how his father had we don't have Mr. Galindo's first name yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was trying to come up with, I don't know,
yeah.
Albert Galindo,
yeah.
or whatever his name is, right? How he used to treat them with respect. And this guy, this new day and age, he doesn't treat them with the same sort of respect.
Yeah.
Right? So the Mayans are that in between, right?
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
They're the in between the cartel and the peoples.
And the peoples, which is why that brawl came out. So, oh, I love that. Yeah.
We're going to talk about the fight?
Let's talk about the fight.
The fight was fantastic.
The fight was awesome.
Oh, it was one of my favorite scenes of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, no guns,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? There you are. That's like the old school.
Yeah.
Right? And he discussed how that fight was coming for a long time. So obviously the Mayans and the cartel guys were butting heads for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like slow motion when they all pulled out their guns. And then it was like, is someone going to make that move?
Mm-hmm.
And then the fight happened.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's when Alvarez comes out and he's like, not like this.
Yeah. Do that again?
Not like this.
Not like this.
I'm like, it was great.
Yeah.
And then Bishop and the new the head of the cartel security guy getting into it. And they're like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
they had this big smile on their faces after a couple of hits.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. Yeah, we needed give the boys a few more minutes.
Yeah. boys will be boys kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved how the Mayans came and stepped in for the woman who ran the dog shelter and the rehab center.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they knew something was wrong because they saw the dogs, right? Mm. So they saw the dogs barking at the scorpion. They're like, wait, those dogs were in the shelter.
Okay. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
And it was like just a few minutes after the guy, after the other dude disappears and whatnot. Yeah. And what did he do? He pulled a 45 move. He grabbed her by
the... Right? Which is funny because I was thinking in the beginning when she first came out, I was like,
Who is this character? Right. What is she going to be about?
Yeah.
You know? But I love the arc that that character and her... what she brings to the table, actually, how it all came out.
Yeah, dogs in rehab. Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah. Check your local vet centers.
And I hope, I hope they talk about Tito a little bit more, too, because I guess that's one of the guys that was in the rehab.
Oh, that was the guy that was the connection to Dogwood to Louie, who they were looking for. Right?
Yeah, but I hope that they expand on that storyline as
well. A little bit. Oh, the whole Louie Dogwood storyline?
Or the Tito guy who's addicted to drugs because they were asking when he was going to get out.
Oh, I thought he was just like a one-off in order to get Louie there.
Maybe.
I thought that's what that was about, was just to get the other guy there to because they were looking for Louie. Oh, let's backtrack a little bit on Louie and Louie's kid.
Okay.
All right. The 48 Hasbro.
That was funny.
That was fantastic. He almost took out poor Coco's eardrum.
And what was Coco's advice to him?
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to have a gun, make sure it's a real gun and it's loaded. And they're like, you're telling a 7-year-old that?
Hey, I had to shoot my crazy uncle Gomez when I was six.
Yeah.
Oh, this show has got some great one-liners in it, too. Oh, what were some other ones before that? And then that leads into Coco's little storyline, right? With his little sister, and when they find Louie, like who knew? Who expected that?
Yeah, so we find Louie, and then Louie's doing porn, and apparently it's Coco's sister's or one of his sisters. Mm-hmm. And so the Dogwood, I guess they have a relationship with the Mayans, and 12% is now going to be 24% because Coco's in so much pain that he has to see his sister do this. Mm-hmm. And then there was a twist, right?
Right.
So the twist was, well, that's not really, I don't know who that is. That's not my sister. My sisters are older than me and have these crazy beards or whatever, right?
Yeah, they got I got two sisters older than me, and they got beards thicker than Gillies, is what he says. Yeah.
And so, but then we watch the whole episode, and then he goes and you could tell he was feeling something, because when they're all like relaxing at the clubhouse, he was all still tense, and he takes off, right? So he goes, and you think that, like, I was thinking, like, oh, he's going to go pick up a girl when he had all those girls readily available. What's that about? And then he picks up his mom. And
which I thought he was going to find his sister.
Yeah.
And then when she showed up to the window, I was like, no, she don't look 16.
No.
That woman does not look 16.
No,
oh,
no.
Okay. His
Brian's
mom.
So then it alludes to that is his sister. Mm-hmm. And he's about to tell the mom, like, hey, she's going up the wrong path. Maybe kind of like you. We got to get her out.
Well, yeah, that would be the hope, but, you know...
this is Mayan territory, so
Mayan
who knows?
This is Mayan territory. Yeah. Some people are going to get... I mean, Louie might still end up getting shot in the head for putting his little sister in porn and paying her half the rate.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why Coco didn't want to tell the truth to the Mayans. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think it's a pretty personal story, in a sense, where it's not something that you want your friends to know, that your 16-year-old little sister is doing porn.
But they already all know. He's just denying his sister right now. And what if it gets worse?
No,
then
I don't,
what?
Well, I mean, that's... then we wouldn't have another storyline.
Dun, dun, dun.
We need a storyline to go to.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's, you know, there's a fine line between family and brotherhood on this show, right? even between like Easy and his dad, you know, there is a fine line.
I love those two, by the way.
Yeah, those are great scenes. Yeah, Edward James Olmos is just, you know,
legendary.
He's the man. Yeah. But he has such a steady hand with everything that he does. I mean, he did an entire scene by himself, and it was beautiful, just talking to his wife in an urn, right?
Yeah.
Just lovely work. Lovely work. But yeah, what else is going on in this show? We had the with Coco's sister. We had the Galindo family.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the father and the sacrificial son. What was the story with that his mom tells him about the son?
About
his son being
Cristoforo. Am I saying that right? Cristobal. Yes.
Cristobal. Yeah.
So apparently his whole life he believed that his brother passed away from pneumonia.
Right.
Right. And then the mom. The moms always know. So the mom decides with his right hand, we need to like make sure that he takes action. So she decides to tell him the truth in this moment. And the truth is that his brother didn't die of pneumonia. His brother was basically kidnapped by Eduardo Perez, who was his dad's partner. Mm-hmm. And he made a deal with the Sonora cartel. And Cristobal was used as a bargaining chip to get Galindo's father pushed out. So basically, they sacrificed the kid. They thought they were going to push the dad out, but the dad didn't buckle. So we can assume that the kid got killed and didn't die from pneumonia.
Or does the baby show up later? Dum, dum, dum.
It's possible. I mean, anything is possible. But you know what I thought was interesting? When the mom said, and you know, 3 months later, I was pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you had me as like a consolation prize?
As a replacement baby.
Right.
It so was I'm your so, replacement
right.
baby.
It was a weird thing to say and no reaction. It was really weird.
It's like the mom was completely
dead
shut
face,
off,
yeah.
Cut off from the entire story. And she says to the consigliere, Tony Plana's character, I don't know who I hate more right now, me or you.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like, you know, it was like business as usual.
Yeah.
This is business as usual. This is what we
on
do.
On both their parts, like just cold-blooded.
Mm. Oh, so cold-blooded.
But I mean, and not just that, like, mom, you knew that? So you were okay with sacrificing your son?
Well, that's why he told her right there when she went to go pick up the bunny, right? Déjalo.
Leave it there.
Déjalo. Yeah, leave it there. I mean, that's going to be in a strange relationship right there.
Yeah,
how would you
just
feel?
Saying to me, I was the consolation prize. Yeah.
How would you feel if your parents told you?
Right. By the way, your brother got killed because we sacrificed him in this drug war. So we decided to get pregnant again. We had you. The end.
The end. There you go. And
wild.
Great. What were you going to do if you lost me?
Have another baby?
It's
nuts. Right. Speaking of nuts, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Tell us you did, so in the comments we'll be able to thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Nice read.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. You know who I really felt bad for the most in this episode, though?
Hmm?
The vendor and his kid.
That vendor. All you try to do is make an honest living, sell a little ice cream.
Yeah, and he got a pot of boiling grease in his face. That was the first thing.
Trauma.
Oh, gosh. And there was a lot of stuff going on with fathers and sons there, because his son was a big father-son freaking episode then.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You know? And then there was the meeting between M and Easy at his father's place. So Easy goes over to Pops and tells him that he wants to meet with Jimenez, the DEA agent, mm-hmm. right? So that they can talk. And he wisely advises him, you can't keep going to this guy.
Yeah.
You cannot keep going to this guy.
Because you'll be found out.
Yeah, but also because if you act like you need him, then his grasp on you is going to be all that much stronger, yep. right?
That, and you're going to be found out. Like he said, they will skin you alive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You have to feed it. You have to live in it, or they will skin you alive. Yep. Oh man, poor Easy was tortured throughout that. The minute that he found out that kid was kidnapped, you could see the torture on that guy's face.
Yeah,
and how much he wanted to help, but couldn't. Like his hands were tied. You see a man who wants to jump into action, but is held back.
Can't. Well, I mean, what can he possibly do?
Yeah, nothing.
Hey, I want to shout out King Defender. He just said he's subscribed to our channel. Woo!
Thanks, King Defender.
Yeah.
Right on. But back, so back to this thing. The minute that he finds out, his first words to Galindo is, "How is Emily?" Right? Which is which that look on Galindo's face was, "How you know my wife?" You know? And then he goes to his pop's butcher shop, mm-hmm. right? Asking to find Jimenez, to talk to Jimenez that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up showing up later that night to meet with Emily. Nice twist.
A great twist.
Were you expecting that?
I wasn't expecting any of it. I have, when we get into some predictions, I have a whole thing. Oh. I believe that's happening with Easy and Emily.
I'm interested in your predictions, but listen. What were you expecting in that moment?
I wasn't sure. Like, I actually didn't think that Emily was going to go and talk to Easy and his dad. Like, I didn't think that that was an outlet that she was going to use. So I was surprised by it.
Yeah. It was a nice twist at the end.
Yeah, I was surprised by it because I think that we didn't really see the interaction on Emily's side. We saw it on Easy's side. Like,
right.
You know, he asked about her and he has that photogenic memory. So he knew like the mm-hmm. exact car. Remember I was trying to like, and like the license plate number by sight. So there's something more to it there for sure. It's
interesting, his photographic memory and how they're like peppering that in. Episode by episode. Yep. Right, because in the pilot episode, he talked about seeing the tattoo on that led them to the Samoans, and now the car. Like, how random is that the car was in the same spot as where the Dogwood car flipped over with
right,
Louis.
And you were just riding by, so like you saw it for a flash.
So he's a very observant young man.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he would have to be being undercover.
So how the heck did he end up in jail? We still need to know more about that.
For sure.
We still need to know more about that. But we got a little cut, a little flashback cut. Did you see that?
When he was at the butcher shop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what did you think that was about?
I feel, I'm not sure, but I think it was, no, it doesn't make sense. Because if it was the cop that he shot underneath that blanket,
yeah,
right,
the white tarp,
then why wasn't he in handcuffs at that moment,
and why weren't there more emergency vehicles? It was just the one, and then they were, I mean, it could have been the up. Yeah,
and there was blood on the head, right?
Yeah.
There was blood on the tarp, so there was some sort, so that was not like a peaceful death in your sleep kind
of
thing.
That was like someone got killed, murdered.
Yeah, so
but right there in that space, because when he was looking out from behind the his dad's butcher's mm-hmm. place, it was like the exact same spot.
So is it the cop that he's supposed, the dirty cop that he shot, or is it somebody else?
I don't know. You guys, if you guys know, please do comment. Mm-hmm. Let us know.
Yeah. Anybody got any thoughts on that?
Right. Any live chatters? You guys know? Let us know in the comments. We're trying to figure out this mystery.
Yeah. So much stuff to unravel, and it's only episode 2. It's like where it feels like by the end of the season, everybody's got to die in order for it to be for the show to be resolved.
That would be Kurt, right up Kurt alley. Do we want to talk about? And I know you told me before the
Los Olvidados. My tongue got tied. Olvidados.
Olvidados. Yeah. Do we want to talk about that?
Let's talk about them. And so, the burning of the heroin.
Yeah.
And their boldness.
Yeah. Taking the sun, burning the heroin. Mm-hmm. In essence, basically getting that father and son killed because that video was taken in that square.
Mm-hmm.
What's the square called?
Merchant Square. Yeah.
And basically they're hitting the cartel from an interesting angle. So the resistance.
Right.
And I wrote a quote that I thought was perfect. It said, "Our struggle is to take back what our grandfathers fought for, political and economic emancipation."
Yes.
Right. So, and they're fighting this war, they're resisting the drug cartel. Mm. And I thought it was a great move.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you're attacking from outside, but he doesn't know who you are and why you're doing it.
It's a romantic in a way, what they're doing, right? They're fighting for they're fighting for peace. They're trying, they don't want to harm the kid.
Right.
I don't think that's their intent at all. I think the kid's going to survive. At least I'm going into predictions, but I'm hoping the kid's going to survive. But, there is a certain, they feel their cause is just. They have a just cause because they feel like their country, their world has been turned upside down by the devil. Being the cartel.
The devil is the drugs and the cartel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can rid themselves of that, then perhaps they can have peace, right? Plus, Los Olvidados are all kids for the most part.
Yeah.
Kids whose parents or families have been murdered by the cartel.
Right. They're trying to save their futures. That's sad.
What do you think about, did you see that little relationship thing going on there between Angel and Aldita, the cartel leader?
Was he joking or was he not joking?
I don't know.
Because, you know.
Well, her reaction to it too was like, this is not the time for that.
Right, so I feel like.
There is some history
there.
There's
some history there.
Yeah.
And he just threw it out there like, hey, you know.
Which kind of figures? Quite honestly, it's like
small world.
It's a small world, and he's like
small crime world.
Yeah, and he's basically the traitor to the Mayans right now.
So he is. I mean, Easy is. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get hot in here.
Coco and Gilly too, man.
Right?
They get caught. Oh man, I wonder what happens if they get caught. That's spooky stuff.
Mm. It's gonna be crazy, but I'm excited because it's. It's good stuff.
Yeah. The story just keeps going and going.
Yeah. And like you said, we're only on episode 2, and I definitely feel like we're laying the foundation mm-hmm. down and giving the viewers a little bit of a backstory and history so that when Kurt goes full steam ahead, which he will, mm-hmm. we're all on the same page.
Oh, man. What have we got, 13 episodes in this season?
Yeah.
Oh, you know that it's going to, that's those last couple of episodes are just going to be epic.
Yeah.
There's so much epicness coming along our way for certain.
Yeah.
What else we got going on here? Should we maybe go into our special segment?
Yeah, let's do that.
Talk a little bit about that.
Let's do it.
Since we talked a little bit about it before, but oof, gruesome deaths.
Gruesome death.
All right, so our segment is going to be about the most gruesome death per episode. Last episode, we had a... We had the Samoan who had his arm chopped off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just bled out.
Yeah.
And just flopped to the floor. You could hear it, too.
Ugh.
This episode, the vendor and his son.
The ice cream vendor and his son.
Oh, yeah. So
and
terrifying.
And for a moment, I thought that they were going to survive because mm-hmm. after he gets that hot grease thrown at him and he's like all bubbling out, and they bring the son out, we see them like have that moment, right? And it's almost like a moment of bonding in terror, which is so sad and traumatic.
When they took the kid's shirt off.
Yeah.
When they took the kid's shirt off right there and then, I thought he was going to be sizzled. Oh, there it is.
Guys, you know, make sure that you are ready to see this for sure.
Yeah.
And so, but then.
Do you hear the sizzling? Now I'm
terrible.
In the mood for fries.
Shut! What? Oh my god, so this is super sad.
Oh.
Super sad, and then we have
With the notes stuffed in their mouths.
And what
too?
Did the sign say?
The sign?
Yeah, I think it said Los Olvidados.
That's correct.
Yes.
Los Olvidados.
Yes.
Los Olvidados. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. That was their, whatchamacallit, the. Those are the little their propaganda notes that were passed around Merchant Square being stuffed
so
in their mouths.
This was a moment for him to say, hey, I'm fighting back and I'm fighting back hard. And you come after me, I'm going to come after you. But what's unfortunate is that, like they said, they're innocents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with anything.
They're just trying to live their lives and sell some ice cream.
I love the little caption, gasp and whispers.
Yeah. Terrible.
Oh man, but that was definitely the most gruesome death of this episode.
Of the episode.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you.
Harsh. Oh, what else we got going on? We covered the Galindo family. We covered a little bit of Coco's side story.
Yep.
We covered a little bit of Em and Easy. Let's go back a little bit to Coco's side story. I think we got a little news on that too, don't we?
Coco's side story. Oh yeah, we can get into some news and gossip if you like.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So, some news and gossip.
TV news.
Well, let's talk about Chucky. So, Richard Cabral makes a guest appearance on this episode as Chucky. And we've seen him. If you've seen Sons of Anarchy, you've seen him plenty of times. And according to this news, he's going to have a reoccurring role throughout the season.
The fingerless dude there,
Chucky.
Right. And Coco gave him something to remember too when he went into the garage and was like, hey, I gotta look something up on your computer.
Which is super funny because if you watch Sons of Anarchy, you know that this is the masturbating guy.
All
and
right.
that's how we got to know him. So for him to be all excited about a porn site is not surprising.
That's so good. But again, that is the Sutterverse. We're peppering in these other characters.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. It brings me back. And like you said, I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Oh, yeah, 2008.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, 2008 since the premiere. And there was a little something else there, too, about the premiere of Sons as compared to the...
So this is the most watched cable premiere in 2018 with 6.8 million viewers. And this premiere had more viewers than the Sons of Anarchy premiere in 2008. So for sure, I think Kurt Sutter has definitely held on to his fan base.
Absolutely.
And then some.
I feel like people have just been waiting for this show.
Yeah.
Just waiting. Like it was an inevitability. And now that it has showed up, the fans have shown up with it.
Yeah.
They've shown up in droves.
And it will be interesting because that whole... cable versus streaming services and holding on to that attention of your fan base and viewers, they obviously have it. FX has it.
Absolutely. FX does not disappoint.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? Shout out. Yeah, we shout out King Defender. We have that subscriber. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I think that it's interesting because there's no other show besides Game of Thrones where I'll wait every week and remember I have to watch this.
Right.
Right? With all the new shows that are out there. Like, some of them you like watch and you're like, oh, whatever. And then you find out there's a season two, you're like, oh, yeah, I never got back to it. But this?
No, this has got me hooked.
All the way hooked.
Yeah. I'm all hooked.
All the way hooked
I'm
in.
I'm ready for some more
barbecue.
Or
barbecue. Exactly. Exactly. So that's our news. If you guys hear of anything or you know anything or you have any bits and tads of pieces of news, please do comment below and we'll definitely talk about it next episode.
Absolutely.
Should we do some predictions?
Let's talk about some predictions. What's going to happen next?
Yes.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right. You said you had some stuff you wanted
to
talk about.
Yes. I think that Easy's still in love with Emily.
Absolutely.
And I think that that son is actually Easy's son.
Really?
I do think that, yeah. Because when he said to Emily, I'll make sure that nothing happens to that baby, your son. That's a weird way to put it. Like, it's super weird.
Well, that would mean that the two of them would have had to have met up a while, like...
It's a baby still.
Yeah, they would have had to... But he just got out of prison, didn't he?
I guess.
Yeah. I don't...
I think that might be true. That's a prediction that I have. I think he's still in love, and I think that that baby, there's something there with the baby. And speaking of babies and crystal balls, I think that the original crystal ball that was quote-unquote killed or sacrificed is still alive. And I think that maybe, perhaps, he's part of the resistance.
That is... Well, you know, there was a guy that was walking around Merchant Square with Adita, some bearded dude, that had no lines or anything. We don't know who he is yet.
Fair enough.
We have no idea who that guy is.
Fair enough.
Right?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's good. Could, or is he Cristobal or is he a featured extra? We don't know.
Those are my predictions. What do you got?
Let's see. I definitely believe that Easy and Miguel are going to come to blows
at
some point. Yeah. Because there was a lot of tension that was built between the two of them in this episode alone, right? There was that first moment when Miguel calls the Mayans in and asks for their help, and he reveals to them that the baby was kidnapped. And easy to first question is, how is Emily, right? That was his first clue. And you saw the look on Miguel's face. It was like, what?
Because he still loves
right?
him.
And then later on, when Easy gives him that little bit of wisdom, perhaps if you didn't treat them like greasy peasants, you'd still have your son.
Yep.
And he goes after him. There is tension being built there.
Yep.
And now, I'm sorry, but she went to his father's butcher shop. You don't think that those bodyguards are going to go back like little, you know, gossipy little, you know, dudes at the barbershop and talk about, hey, so did you see her over at, yeah, that's going to get back to Miguel.
Yep.
You know, so all of this is going to come, so at some point, those two are going to have to come to blows.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
Easy still loves Emily, so.
Yeah. I also,
it's going to happen.
I also think there's something between Angel and Adita, the leader of Los Olvidados.
Yeah, I agree
I
with
really
that.
Think there's something going on there, you know? And then who knows what's going to happen with Coco and his sister. I mean, apparently there's a whole side story going
on
there.
Right, with the Dogwoods,
Yeah, and the Dogwoods. So there might be some, I predict more motorcycles, more bullets.
Right, more deaths.
More deaths and more fistfights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff, good stuff
are,
all around.
Those are good predictions. And accurate. Accurate.
I like it. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up for today.
Yeah.
Right? So we'll see you guys next week on episode 3 of The Mayans. For now, I am Jorge Payo. You can follow me on all of my social media at The El Jorge. That's T-H-E-L. T-H-E-E-L Jorge. And also the Castle Rock AfterBuzz show and Queen of the South AfterBuzz show.
Awesome. Guys, Linda Antwi, I am so happy to be on this panel. You want to reach out to me all across social media? I'm Linda Is So Girly. Yeah, reach out to me. I love hearing from you guys. Till next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.